First Peter chapter 1 verse 8. We're going to talk about joy, and this is probably a message I really possibly don't need to preach. It's in me too much, too passionate, because the Lord spoke to my heart here some time ago and told me that there was two things that He was asking for from my life. One thing is that I would handle everything in peace, that I will allow nothing to disturb my peace. And then the next thing He asked me in my life is that I would handle every situation in joy. And so you that have fought for that winning of that battle, you understand how emotionally that can be inside you. So I'm really too passionate. So if I get to preaching too strong, Merle, I was just seeing Merle on stage this morning. Man, he was just singing to you, man. He put that finger and just he would just sing so good. And so if I get to preaching too hard to you, then you just say, well, oh, Jerry, he's off on his tangents again. But because this is just strong in me. I believe that joy and peace can turn around any situation in our life. And I believe that so strongly that it is in me from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head. I just believe whatever we're faced with, if we will face it in peace, if we'll determine it's not going to take my peace, I'm going to hold the peace of God, I'm going to trust God, and then that the response to our situation, if it will be joy, if we will respond to whatever we're facing in joy, I believe it will change each one of our lives. And I believe it will change circumstances, bring miracles to pass. Like 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, it says, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And how many of you have not seen Him, but you love Him? Give Him a hand if you love Him. We just love Him. We haven't seen Him, but we love Him. And it says, though you do not now see Him, you believe. I don't see His work right now, but I believe. I believe right now God is working out things in your life. And I radically believe, since about 4 o'clock this morning, thank God about 4:15, I radically believe that God's working out things in my life. I haven't seen some of that, but I believe it with all my heart. Amen? And then what happens in our response? If we believe, then we're able to rejoice with joy. That's our response. If we believe... Now, I usually state this a little bit further in my message. I'm going to do it right up front. I was raised in a family that were professional worriers. We knew how to worry well. We knew how to handle self-pity real well, too. I mean, if it got hard on us, I knew how to drop down and get some self-pity. And what it will really become, it will be a comfort to you. It can. A false comfort. A lying comfort. But people that is in your life, you know that God's got to help you. There must be a change. Some of you respond in anger to things. You know that's got to change. Some of you respond with being just distraught, depressed when something... That's got to change. If God's going to be able to help us, or if God's going to be able to work a miracle, and I believe we serve a miracle God, that's got to change. I mean, this old may be an old dog, but he can learn some new tricks. You understand? And so we must be willing to allow God to help us do that. And the Holy Spirit will. Because it's the Holy Spirit that's working in us to produce joy. And it's the Holy Spirit that is working in us to produce peace. But at the same time, I have a part. I must allow God to do in me so God can do for me. Now, it would be nice if we just had out joy. Anybody got any out joy? Because that's not even a word, is it? It's in joy. It starts inside me. Inside you. If I'm going to begin to change the way I respond to people and things, It's got to start in me, in joy, inside me, in here. The Lord gives me a sense that needs to change. Somebody says, well, what's legalism and what's spirit? You know, we have that wrestle sometime in the New Testament. Well, it's simply that which you are convicted by the Holy Spirit about is never legalistic. So when the Holy Spirit is convicting us over handling and responding wrongly to people and to things, then that's not legalism, me trying to bring forth that. That's me working and cooperating with God. For the Holy Spirit to bring out of me what God is dealing with me out in my life. So, let's take it from the Christmas story. We're talking about joy. All right, Luke chapter 2, verse 5. We could also take this from Matthew, but look at Luke. They have the scriptures for you on the screen if you so desire. Luke chapter 2, and here, we're a radical church. I ask you to look at the screen, you have to turn your necks all the way that way. Then I'll say something, you have to turn your necks all the way here. But at the close of service, we're going to pray for stiff necks. So, we're going to eventually do something about this. Get some screens in some other places so you don't have to radically always go around like that. All right, Luke chapter 2, verse 5, is that he took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. There's some history here, right? The history is we know that the Holy Spirit has brought forth a child in Mary's womb, conceived by the Holy Spirit. We also know that Joseph, which was engaged to Mary, had some real doubts about that at first. You know, it's just like somebody walking through and say, yeah, that is in me is of God. We say, well, I don't know. That's where Joseph was. But through God speaking to him, he got in line. And so now they're on a journey to Bethlehem because they have to go and register. It was a law. They had to go back to the city of their forefathers and register, just like we have to register up here at the courthouse. And if you don't believe that, you miss that for 7 years and they'll come live in your house. So we have to do that. But that's what they did. They were on their way. But there's more to the background than that. Oh, I know we paint our manger scenes beautiful. We have the little bitty lambs. Then we even put an air freshener behind them. That's not the way it was. It was manure. It was stinking. It was the place animals ate from. That was what Jesus placed in. But not only that, there was heartbreak going on. During that period of time, families traveled together. They lived together and they traveled together. It was for safety purposes and it was the culture of the land. For Mary and Joseph to be there by themselves told us something else in the story. It told us that their family didn't believe them. Their family had rejected them. Their family had rejected him to the point they would no longer associate with him. They were traveling by themselves. And all of a sudden, now they found themselves in a situation, in the worst situation of their life. Joseph cannot provide for his family. I don't know how many of you are having financial struggles, but I want you to know that was the story of Jesus. Joseph could not even provide an adequate place for Mary to stay. He was thrust into a job that he was nowhere prepared. During that period of time, the mothers and the grandmothers would usually bring birth to the child, would help birth the child. Joseph found himself in a barn with animals and his wife pregnant. Now the baby's coming. I tell you, that's about as horrible a situation as I could think of. So it wasn't pretty. This is not the pretty side of it, see. But that's what was happening. They were rejected. And for people not to believe their story, then they were lied upon. Now here was Joseph and Mary was doing everything that they could to live for God. And now the people lie upon them. Their own family rejects them. breaks their heart. And now they've found themselves in a circumstance in life that they have no way of knowing what to do. Amen. Verse 6, and while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. Verse 7, she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in snugly. I love what this version says. She did everything that she could. There was so much she couldn't do. She could not provide her child a bassinet. She could not provide her child a baby room. She could not provide her child somebody to deliver her child, but she did everything that she could. She took rags. And she took those rags and she placed those rags as neatly as she could to be around her baby. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging there. There was no place for them. Now, Cricket this morning, he's preaching to El Dorado, and he's preaching it this way. He said, if that innkeeper had known, if he would have heard from God, still people would be going to that inn. Right? Well, that's not the way I'm talking about it. So they found their son there. All right, then verse 8, the story changes. God begins to give for his perspective. You've just seen it from man's perspective, the hurt and the pain, the difficulty, the rejection. Now God's perspective. That night there were shepherds. I want you to know, whatever pain you're going through, there is an earthly perspective. And if you just hold that earthly perspective of what you're going through, things possibly will never change. For things to change in all of our lives, we have to gain God's perspective on whatever it is that we're going through and facing. We have to see it like God sees it. Amanda, I wonder what Jesse's doing right now. We have to be able to see it from the way God sees it. All right, he says, that there were shepherds standing in the field nearby guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them. And the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. And they were terrified. Verse 10. But the angel assured them, don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will change it into joy. A lot of things we want to have joy in. We want to feel happy about a lot of the circumstances in our life, but here God gave us the answer. God's perspective brings joy into any situation. You cannot have joy in the midst of trial without gaining God's perspective. It was the news that was to bring great joy. Now it says, the news that would bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. But verse 12 is such a clincher. And it says, you will recognize Him. What will you recognize Him by? It doesn't say you will recognize Him by the star that appears that will guide us to the stable. You will recognize Him by the stable. You will recognize the miracle by everything being wrong. That's what he said. You will recognize the miracle by everything being wrong. By everything going wrong. By nothing being what it should be. By everything being out of place. You will reckon, if we will gain God's news will release joy. Amen? And God has a miracle for every situation that has gone wrong. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth and goodwill to men. Well, I'm right at 65 years old, so I've been to pull one of my tickets this morning. When you get old, you get to do things different. So the thing I'm doing different is, I'm preaching point two before I preach point one. How many of you will allow me to do that? I just say he's reading backwards. I don't care what you say about me. Just say he's reading wrong. But I'm going to preach point two before I preach point one, because this is the way kind of God speaks to my heart about it. And that is, I must be able to recognize joy. If I'm ever going to be able to release joy, I've got to first be able to recognize what joy is. Now, the problem is, most of us have no idea what joy is. Most of us consider joy that feeling of glee, that feeling of excitement, that feeling, and that's far from what the Word of God means when it talks about joy. That is a word, but it's called happiness. It's based on our happenings. It's based on things going well. It's based on things working out right. Joy comes when things work out wrong. But happiness is there when things work out right. Amen? In fact, happiness, according to the definition, is based on circumstantial pleasure. It's merriment, something that happens that's caused one to feel hopeful or to be in a high spirit. But I got to tell you something else about happiness. Happiness is also really fleeting. Because you may be happy one morning, one moment, and it doesn't take much. Just an unaccounted for bill comes in, or maybe a harsh word from a spouse, or maybe a wrong look from a coworker, and all of a sudden, all that happiness that we felt is immediately drained away. So it's fleeting. But joy is something different. Joy is God's supernatural response to the devil's attack against us. Joy is what I must choose to do. It is God's response. In fact, I must have a little God, if I'm a little bit of God in me, if I'm going to be able to face situations and see them turn. You know, the Lord never intended us to experience what we're experiencing here on earth. You know that? The loss that we've mentioned these precious losses and the hurt and the pain, difficulty. God did not equip us to deal with that. You know that. We were built and engineered to live in a garden and have Eve bringing grapes to us. No, that's probably not in there. But we were engineered to live in a garden. And in that garden, God would come walking every day. And you and I would walk and talk with God and find out all the answers to our problems. And we'd know He'd be back the next day. But that's not life. Because when man fell and sin came, the presence of God was shut off. And so by the presence of God shut off, now we're living in a broken world. And I got something else to tell you. Not only do we live in a broken world, but we're a broken people. That's why if I'm going to be able to handle the circumstances of life, because the life is just complicated at best. If I'm going to be able to handle the circumstances of life, then I must get a little of God in me. And the God in me to turn around, that I must get God's response to situations. I must begin to learn and grow. And some way, I must learn to respond to people, to circumstances, and situations. If I'm expecting God's power to work in my life, I must learn how to get a little God in me, to where I will begin to respond like God if His power is going to work for me. Amen. And so, that is. But a little happiness is pretty good, too. There's a song that says something. A little happiness go around something. So it was good to be happy, too. But always know that when you feel that feeling of happiness, it's real fleeting. I got a little video. It shut out the lights real dark. I want you to see it. I got a little video and just show you how fleeting a moment of happiness can be. Oh, I tell you what, my kids sent me that a while back, and I laughed every time I read it. I tell you what, happiness can be really fleeting real quick, right? But so what we want to do today, we don't talk about joy. We want to be able to, everybody say, I want to be able to recognize joy. First thing I want to do, I want to be able to recognize joy for what it is. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, He told them, and ye became followers of us, and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. Now, when you're talking about the joy of the Lord, you're not talking about a fleeting feeling. You're not talking about seeing something that has worked out right and you having a sense of happiness. There are two words that go side by side in the New Testament many, many times, and Paul consistently places those two words side by side. The Greek word is thlipsis. It's rendered here affliction. It means affliction, problem, difficulty. And in fact, for the meaning of this word, let me give you the meaning. It means a heavy pressure situation. It means a specific act of tying a victim to a rope, laying him on his back, and then placing a huge boulder on top of him until his body was crushed. When you find the word joy, you find this word many, many times, this word thlipsis. And what Paul is saying is, it's when life gets to the point to where it's crushing you. When your life gets to a place you can't handle it, the Holy Spirit has a power of joy that He will release into your life that will be God's response to hard situations. And if I will allow the Holy Spirit to do that, then it will release God to change the situation and allow the power of God. Now, the word joy is the word char. It comes from the word charis. Similar word charis. It means grace. What God is telling me, joy is dependent on the supply of grace in your life. Man, I've watched many of you. I've been your pastor, some of you, for 40 years. And in the process of it, I've watched many of you walk through situations I would look at and I would say, how in the world are they handling that? And Lord and behold, when you would walk through those doors, you would have a smile on your face from ear to ear because the grace of God had come into your life and the grace of God has allowed the release of joy to be God's response. I'm going to tell you what. Whatever the devil's done to you, it did not catch God off guard. It did not catch Him by surprise. He has not sent out to get a book to read on it. God doesn't have to look for an answer. He is the answer. God is the answer for every dilemma. He is the answer for every sickness. He is the answer for every situation. He is the answer for every loneliness. God is the answer. Amen. So we've got to know that. Amen. All right, then in Romans 15:13 says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace. Notice what it says. As you trust in Him. If I have peace in my situation, it's because I trust in God. If you have peace in your storm, it's a direct outworking of your trusting God. If you have joy, there is impossible to have joy in the midst of those pressures unless you trust God. Instead of trying to work up joy, we settle in and decide to trust God. And we just say, Lord, I don't understand why they did it. I don't understand how they did it. I don't understand what happened to me. I don't understand how my health failed. I don't understand what went wrong in my family. I don't understand why that job quit. I don't understand why they blame me for what happened. This I know, God, I'm going to trust You. You've never left me. You've never forsaken me. I'm going to trust God. And out of that trust, the Holy Spirit will begin to ooze. Everybody say ooze. It will begin to ooze a real joy that has power to change every situation. Amen. In life. All right. Joy at the single most. The single most significant point in history was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the resurrection started with everything being wrong at God's birth, at Jesus' birth. Christmas was a sign that everything went wrong. The resurrection is a sure sign that God can take anything that the devil has tried to do to you, and God can turn it and bring it out for His glory. Amen. See, each of us have a manger. Each of us do. We do. We all have it not being right. A manger is, I thought I would have more money at this point. A manger is, boy, is this inconvenient. A manger is, they sure did not support me in it when I supported them. A manger is, doesn't the innkeeper understand? See, a manger is, why is it so hard? Duane, a manger is, at a time in your life when the Lord's will to be a wonderful season, that cancer has struck. Many of you, things are striking you right now. You understand what it is that feel that pain. But my second question is, what are you doing with your manger? What are you doing with it? What are you doing with that has been dealt to you? We find so, we're always trying to find out why. Oh man, you know, why? You know, why did you do me like that? Perpetrator and victim. If I have the wrong heart toward my perpetrator, there will be no difference to our end. I always tell people that unless I respond, unless we can respond to things in the godly manner, the only difference is this. The perpetrator, whoever hurt you, they're going down. But if you don't respond in forgiveness and trust, you're going down too, honey. The only difference is this. As you fall by them, you get to say, you did this to me. That's a hard lot in life. There must be more to life than that. There must be more. Can you say amen? All right. Joy is power in the battle. Joy is God's response that releases power of God. And let me restate this. It is God's supernatural response to every hard situation. Oh, I know you're going to try to. Somebody think you're going to get God depressed. Some of you think, oh, God, let me tell you how bad I got it. Let me just tell you how bad I got it. And you think, oh, God, just going to say, oh, I never thought about that. I never knew that was going to happen to you. That just went beyond me. That went beyond, oh, why in the world did they? And you say, God, why did they do that? And God said, I don't have any idea why anybody would do you like that. My God. Get your eyes off the cause. And get your eyes on the answer. Get your eyes on the answer, on the response that will bring change in the midst of our life. Number two. Which is your number one? Not only must I recognize joy, I got to recognize it, I must anticipate it. The devil's biggest work is not just the dilemma that he's caught you in or caught me in. The devil's biggest work is how he's made me think about the dilemma that I've been caught in. Because the situation that he may have caught me in, it's subject to change. But the way I think about that situation will doom me for the rest of my life. So the biggest work, the biggest track, everybody's talking about deer tracks now, the biggest track of the devil in my life is not what was done to me. It's my response to what was done to me. The biggest evidence that Satan has been successful in his assault against me is not what's against me, but it's what I've allowed him to do to me, in me, in the midst of that. Amen. Right up front, we need to know something. You need to dismiss the thoughts of your Coca-Cola Christmases. I remember the Coca-Cola pictures. Anybody old enough to remember that? Little fat red man sitting there in his family glee. I never could figure out how that little fat man got down that little bitty chimney. I never could figure that one out. But I'll tell you what, that's not life. That is not life. That's not dealing with things. That's not living. Complexity of family issues. There are many of you that right here this year, you're facing brokenhearted situations. Families rejecting you, same way they did to Joseph, Mary, same way. Maybe not for same purposes, same reasons, but you're facing that. People's not understanding you, they're misunderstanding you. And then the devil comes along and says, everybody's family is normal but yours. Everybody's family has got at least 10. You understand? And when you sit at the table and you can't find out who that 10 is, guess who? Do you understand? Life is complicated no matter how you cut it. But Jesus is strong. Jesus is powerful. And if I will respond with Jesus in it, praise God. Yes, the resurrection started with the manger to tell me that the miraculous starts with the inconvenient. The miraculous starts and the more than enough. Stay with me. The more than enough starts with a less than adequate. To get God's power of a God who's more than enough, the way I know it's a miracle is because it started with an inadequacy of not enough. Amen? Joy is God's way of handling situations. You know, in every situation we say, I wish I had a handle on it. Well, God gives us a handle. God gives us a handle, and that handle is joy. And if I will take a hold of God's handle, I will be able to handle the situations in my life. If I would just determine I'm not going to live like the fresh flesh creature that I've lived most of my life, I'm going to take a hold of this handle that God gave me to handle the circumstances of my life. And one thing for sure, I may not can help what happens to me, but I can sure change the way I respond to it that happens to me. Amen? See, joy will cause you. I want to get curious on a little bit, a quick little trip here. Joy will cause me, will force me out of my comfort zone. That is the problem. Let me tell you, God saw what you were going to face. God saw it well ahead of time. He looked at you and He said, me in you is bigger. We can handle it. We can overcome this. God's confidence in anything that you're facing tells me that God's confidence is in you, that you and Him can handle that thing for the glory of God. Now I know, and I believe strongly in giftings in people. Greatest ministry won't come out of your giftings. Greatest ministry is going to come out of your desperation. It's going to come out of your manger. People at this time, they say, Jerry, I'm just lonely. I'm just so lonely. Let me tell you what. The greatest singles ministry this church has ever experienced was birthed out of a person that was brokenhearted. It was left for dead on the side of a road when a person left him, and he made a ministry out of it. What happens is this. We get our eyes on us. And let me tell you something. There's just a bigger picture than just us. Now, God loves us, but there is a bigger picture that's happening in all of our lives. You were built for a purpose. You were created for a purpose. And the Lord is determined. If it takes the devil to get that purpose working in your life, He'll use the devil. He'll use whatever He needs to do to get that purpose working in your life. Amen. I tell you what, when I'm sick, I want you to send somebody to pray for me that knows what it is to defeat sickness. When I get in a place where I'm needing help, I want somebody to come pray for me that knows what it is. That's what the Bible calls it like this. The same grace that you have received, that same grace is able to flow out of you. We get our eyes just on our little picture. Our little picture is, God, what I'm going through is not making me happy. Lord, what I'm going through is not working out. What I'm going through is not going to bring the Coca-Cola Christmas into my life. What I'm going through, God says, no. What you're going through, if you will trust in me, will produce a fountain out of your life that will not only water you, but will water generations for years to come, and will water other people that's in the midst of that need. Amen. God's creating something so powerful out of you. That singles ministry I was talking to you about, it started off like this. A broken-hearted individual that was done wrong by a person. And they, I remember the day that they had the choice. They had the choice. They was going to either choose joy and begin to respond God's way, or they were going to get over here in this corner and get bitter and ugly and mean and never let anything be accomplished. We've all had that choice. There's not a one of us that we don't have the opportunity to use whatever it is that the devil's brought against us. Amen. Let me tell you, bring me, Andy, my little cardboard things. I say our faith is the joy working together, processing together. Last year at this time, it was a sure different year for me. Last year at this time, I was extremely sick. It hit me on Thanksgiving Day, and it put me into a doctor's situation that was it was extremely painful, because it happened so quick. They could not, even when I was going through procedures, they couldn't knock me out. They couldn't give me anything. It was extremely painful. But at that point, it was to me proven that my life was over. I mean, I faced certain sicknesses down through the years, but never anything like I was facing at that point. So last year, if I was to exhibit my faith, it would have been something like this. Christmas is going to be on Sunday this year. So we're going to have a short abbreviated service here on Christmas morning. Then we're also going to have an exact like service on that Saturday night, that Christmas Eve. But what God has spoken in my heart is that we must exhibit our faith. Unless you allow your faith to come out in joy, you're never going to win that. You've got to begin to trust God to the place to where even in the midst of hard it is. See, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I trust you. So last year, this would have been mine. I would have. At that moment, that seemed as far from me as anything could be. The doctors had looked and they had said and had went in me and it seemed like it was all gone. But the difference that a praise can make. So this year, that's not me anymore. It's this side. Can't read it, can you? You know why? I just got back from 1,800-mile trip of driving a U-Haul truck and pulling a 20-foot trailer across country. And do you know what? Feeling great. Feeling great. The difference. Now, Brother Andy, where's my next one at? Just bring the other card. Then I begin to think back several years ago. Now, I want you to know I can be a professional whiner. I can outwhine the best of you. Because I was brought up. I learned to find comfort in that. But this is symbolic of all the past many years. I remember 25 years ago. Right at 25 years ago. What I call one of my hardest days in my life. And I've had several hard days, but I remember this day particularly. My child had just run away from home. I was broken. Didn't know where they were. Lane, although Lane is so strong in the Lord and such a wonderful person, she walked up to me and she said, "Jerry," she said, "I can't put up with your life anymore. I'm leaving." And she walked out that day. Now, to tie it all in, I had to go preach to 30 pastors that day. And I was supposed to go tell 30 pastors what a wonderful life it is living for Jesus. So I went through my first natural response. I remember where I was standing. I remember dropped on that floor and I cried like a baby. I said, "God, I've done everything I knew to do. And it looks like I failed at being a daddy. I failed at being a husband. And I'm going to fail in the ministry because I can't go a lot of those people. Just as sure as anything, God shook me on that floor. Said, "Get up, Jerry! Unless you get up, you've lost it all. But if you get up, I'll give it all back to you." Remember, it was one of the hardest things. And I've had several hard days since that. But I went back there to that particular day. I don't know why I chose that one, but this one. But I got up. I brushed myself off. And I said, "Lord, I'm going to rejoice and praise you anyway. I'm just going to be thankful to the Lord that you're bigger than my dilemma, Lord. You're bigger than my problem, Lord. You're so much bigger." So I went to that meeting, was out of town. And they had expected me to come in and teach them on church growing. Boy, did I teach them on church growing. I taught them everything about faith I knew. It was my faith on the line. I needed somebody to tell my faith to. I needed somebody to rejoice in front of. I needed somebody to release what I believed that God was doing. So I did. Now, there's been many, many times I failed that. Failed that test. But I did. And guess who didn't fail? The last thing I wanted to mention to you is you have to choose joy. It doesn't automatically come. You have to make a decision how you're going to respond to whatever it is. I can respond through worry, I can respond through doubt, I can respond through discouragement, depression. I can respond in any of those things. Or I can let a little bit of God and I can respond in joy. Because when I'm joyful in the midst of hardness, what I'm saying to God is, "You're trusting me, son. You're trusting me, son. As long as I'm mean and mad and angry and upset and discouraged and despondent and depressed, that's because I'm dependent on me. I think I've got to work it out. But But in a moment of time, it can become out of my hands into the hands of the Master. I tell you what, He's good with it all. He's good with finances. He's good with healing. He's good with deliverance. He's good at working out family issues. He's a master of everything. So all we have to do is learn to let joy be released. Because we have to choose it. We have to choose.